Against a blue background, a white fairy castle appears. A glowing white star shoots over the castle, leaving a long, curving trail. The logo of Walt Disney Pictures. Distributed by Buena Vista Distribution Company, Incorporated. Walt Disney Productions presents The Aristocats.
Which pet's address is the finest in Paris? Which pets possess the longest pedigree? Which pets get to sleep on velvet mats? Naturellement, the Aristocats. Which pets are blessed with the fairest forms and faces? Which pets know best all the gentle social graces? Which pets live on cream and loving pats? Naturellement, the Aristocats. They show aristocratic bearing when they're seen upon an airing. An aristocratic flair in what they do and what they say. Aristocats are never found in alleyways or hanging around the garbage cans where common kitties play. Oh, no. Which pets are known to never show their claws? Which pets are prone to hardly any flaws? To which pets do the others tip their hats? Naturellement, the Aristocats.
This story is about a white cat and her three playful kittens. Two boy kittens, a ginger one and a grey one, and a white girl kitten. The kittens are chasing each other in a big room full of classy furniture. They have ribbons tied in bows round their necks. One jumps onto a piano stool. The girl kitten grabs his tail, but he pulls free and cheekily plonks at the keys with his paws. The other boy kitten stands at a painter's canvas, dips a paw in a pool of paint and smears it messily all over the canvas and himself.
Oh, oh, oh. Aristocats, ils sont toujours, même quand ils font un petit tour, toujours précieux là où ils vont, ils sont fiers de leur éducation. Dédaignant les ruelles, ils préfèrent les bars aux poubelles, dont se contentent trop vulgaires les chats de gouttière. Oh, pouah! Quel miaou! Réprouve les gros mots. Quel chat chouchou s'estime sans défaut. Et devant qui les autres chats tirent leur chapeau. Mais naturellement, voyons. Oh, mais naturellement, les aristocrates.
Paris, 1910. Madame in a horse-drawn carriage.
Marie, my little one, you're going to be as beautiful as your mother. Isn't she, Duchess?
Madame strokes the white cat and the girl kitten. The ginger kitten climbs up the driver's face.
Careful, Toulouse. You're making it very difficult for Edgar.
The butler removes the kitten and pulls on the reins.
Whoa. Steady, girl.
The grey kitten perches on the horse's pink hat. Edgar helps Madame down from the carriage. She carries a big gift box.
Thank you, Edgar. Of course, Frou-Frou, I almost forgot.
She gives the horse a sugar lump.
Madam, may I take your parcel, madam? It really is much too heavy for you, madam.
Now, tut-tut, Edgar. Don't fuss over me.
The kittens play round the horse's legs.
Berlioz, come back here. Haven't you forgotten something, darling?
Thank you, Miss Frou-Frou, for letting me ride on your back.
You're quite welcome, young man.
How is that, Mama?
Very good, darling. That was very nice. Come along, Duchess. Kittens, come along.
Edgar holds the front door open.
Oh, and Edgar, I'm expecting my attorney, Georges Aucourt. You remember him, of course.
Of course, madam. How could anyone forget him?
Edgar rolls his eyes. An old yellow car rounds the corner of the tree-lined cobbled street. A sprightly, white-haired man in scarf and hat pulls on the brake and reaches for his stick and bag.
Ra boom ye, ta boom ye, da 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 dee 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 dee.
He thwacks his back with his stick.
Dee dee doo, ta boom ye, ta boom ye. Whoops! Not as spry as I was when I was 80.
He lurches past the gate towards the house. Inside, Edgar hurries breathlessly to the big double doors in the hallway.
Ah, good day, sir. Madam is expecting you, sir.
Evening, Edgar.
Edgar unwinds the old man's scarf. The lawyer flings his hat onto Edgar's head.
Oh, another ringer, sir. You never miss.
The old man heads up the stairs unsteadily.
Come on, Edgar, last one up the stairs and nincompoop.
Could we take the elevator this time, sir?
That birdcage poppycock. Elevators are for old people.
Whoops. He falls backwards.
May I give you a hand, sir?
You haven't got an extra foot, have you, Edgar?
That always makes me laugh, sir. Yes. Every time.
Let go of my cane!
Careful, sir. Oh, please, may I fight this, sir?
The cane's hooked into Edgar's braces.
Don't panic, Edgar!
The old man is catapulted onto Edgar's back.
Upward and onward! Am I going too fast for you, Edgar?
Oh, please, I hope.
They wobble up the stairs. In her room, Madame swirls before a mirror. Cat and kittens look on.
There now, Duchess. That's better. We must both look our best for Georges. He's our oldest and dearest friend, you know.
She strokes Duchess.
Come in.
Edgar stumbles in.
Announcing Monsieur Georges Haute-Court.
Oh, my goodness, Edgar. I know it's Georges.
Adeline! My dear.
Madame extends her hand to him.
So good to see you, Georges.
He kisses. The cat's tail.
Still softest hands in all fancy.
You're a shameless flatterer, Georges.
The grey kitten winds the gramophone.
Adeline, that's music. It's from Carmen, isn't it?
That's right. It was my favorite role.
Yes, yes. It was the night of your grand premiere that we first met, remember?
Oh, indeed I do.
And how we celebrated your success. Champagne, dancing the night away.
He starts to dance, kittens at his feet. Madame sways and hugs Duchess. George takes her in his arms. He leans over her, Duchess sandwiched between them. All three exchange tender looks. They move into a tango. Madame towering over the wizened lawyer. Two of the kittens scampering at their feet. The third kitten revolving on the record player, leaping to avoid the arm and missing.
Oh, thank goodness. Just in time. Ah, Georges. We're just a pair of sentimental old fools. Now, Georges, do be serious. I've asked you to come here on a very important legal matter.
Oh, splendid, splendid. Who do you want me to sue, eh?
Well, come now, Georges. I don't wish you to sue anyone. I simply want to make my will.
Will, eh? Will.
He unscrews a fountain pen. But downstairs, Edgar listens.
Now then, who are the beneficiaries?
Well, as you know, I have no living relatives, and naturally, I want my beloved cats to be always well cared for. And certainly no one can do this better than my faithful servant, Edgar.
Edgar? Adelaide, you mean to say you're leaving a vast fortune to Edgar? Everything you possess? Stocks, bonds, this mansion, your country's chateau, our treasures, jewels, and...
No, Georges, to my cats.
To your cats? Cats?
Yes, Georges. I simply wish to have the cats inherit first. Then, at the end of their lifespan, my entire estate will revert to Edgar.
Cats inherit first, and I come after the cats. It's not fair. Oh, I mean, each cat will live about 12 years. I can't wait. And each cat has 9 lives. That's 4 times 12 and multiplied by 9 times... No, it's less than that. Anyway, it's much longer than I'd ever live. I'll be gone. No. Oh, no. They'll be gone. I'll think of a way. There are a million reasons why I should. All of them dollars. Millions.
Dollar signs light up his eyes and swirl around him.
Those cats have got to go.
He rips his trousers. Outside, the kittens race for the cat flap.
Wait for me! Me first!
Why should you be first?
Because I'm a lady, that's why.
You're not a lady.
You're nothing but a sister.
Berlioz pulls Marie back by her tail.
I'll show you if I'm a lady or not.
They scamper over the stool and wrestle on the thick carpet.
Get her, Berlioz!
Toulouse jumps onto a table and leaps at a candle holder. Marie tugs at the red ribbon around Berlioz's neck.
Fight fair, Marie!
Females never fight fair!
Toulouse drops a candle on Marie.
Now that hurts! Mama!
Marie, darling, you must stop that. This is really not ladylike. And Berlioz? But such behavior is most unbecoming to a lovely gentleman.
Well, she started it. Ladies do not start fights, but they can finish them.
Berlioz, now don't be rude.
We were just practicing biting and clawing.
Aristocrats do not practice biting and clawing and things like that. It's just horrible.
But someday, we might meet a tough alley cat.
He scowls and spits.
No, that will do. It's time we concerned ourselves with self-improvement. Now you want to grow up to be lovely, charming ladies and gentlemen. Now to lose, you go and start on with your painting.
Yes, Mama. Mama, may we watch Toulouse paint before we start our music lesson, please?
Well, yes, my love, but whoops, you must be very quiet.
Uh-oh. Toulouse accidentally squirts paint on the floor. He mixes red and blue with his paws to make purple, and then jumps from the painting table to stool and smears it on his canvas. He reaches for a dollop of green, stares at the canvas, rubs his chin thoughtfully, and gets paint on his chin. He's painting a picture of a face. He flings red paint at the canvas to make the nose and mouth.
Yeah.
It's Edgar.
Yeah, Old Picklepus Edgar.
Old Picklepus. Now, Berlioz, that is not kind. You know Edgar is so fond of all of us and takes very good care of us.
Edgar's in the kitchen.
Rock-a-bye, kitties, bye-bye you go.
Pouring sleeping pills in their milk.
La, 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 and I'm in the dough. Oh, Edgar, you sly old fox.
He adds spices, vanilla and sugar, stirs it with a spoon, raises the spoon to his lips, but stops before he tastes.
Oops. Oh, dear. A slip of the hand and it's off to dreamland. I see, that's not at all bad. Slip of the hand, dreamland.
Now let's leave Toulouse to his painting. Now, dear, you go to the piano. Now, run along. Both of you, go ahead.
Yes, Mama. Yes, Mama.
It's time to practice your scales and your arpeggios.
They scamper to the piano.
Ouch!
Marie pulls Berlioz's tail, perches on the piano top and preens herself. Berlioz sits on the piano stool and prepares his paws for playing.
I'm ready, my straw.
Berlioz flings himself at the keys.
Mama, he did it again.
Now, Berlioz, now please, darling, settle down and play me your pretty little song.
Yes, Mama. Do me so do do so me do. Every truly cultured music student knows you must learn your scales and your arpeggios. Ring the music ringing from your chest and not your nose while you sing your scales and your arpeggios.
Now it's Berlioz's turn.
If you're faithful to your daily practicing, you will find your progress is encouraging. Do-me-so-me, follow so it goes when you do your scales and your arpeggios. Do-me-so-do.
Berlioz is using front paws and back feet. Marie rolls her eyes. Toulouse jumps from the painting table, one paw orange, the other green, and joins Berlioz at the piano, getting paint all over the keys.
Do me so do do so me do. Do me so do do so me do. Though at first it seems as though it doesn't show, like a tree ability will bloom and grow. If you're smart you'll learn by heart what every artist knows. You must sing your scales and your
enters with a tray of bowls.
Oh, good evening, my little ones.
Kittens crowd round his feet.
Your favorite dish, prepared in a very special way.
He puts the tray on the floor.
Creme de la creme a la Edgar. Sleep well. I mean, eat well, of course.
He leaves them lapping contentedly at their milk. From under the piano, the big-eared, whiskery mouse watches from his hole in the wall. and happily trots towards them, rolling a biscuit.
Good evening, Duchess. Hello, kittens.
Hello, Roquefort.
Hi, Roquefort.
Good evening, Monsieur Roquefort.
Something smells awfully good. What is that appetizing smell?
It's creme de la creme a la Edgar.
Won't you join us, Monsieur Roquefort?
Well, yes. I don't mean to interrupt, but it so happens that I have a cracker with me.
Come on, Roquefort. Have some.
Oh, thank you. Don't mind if I do. Just a few dunks. Ooh, very good. My compliments to the chef.
This is yummy.
Delicious. Double delicious. This calls for another cracker. I'll be right back.
Berlioz laps and yawns. Roquefort slows to a crawl, sways and yawns, dropping to sleep at the entrance of his hole.
So that's creme de la creme a la Edgar.
Nighttime at the tradesman's entrance by the street. A cat flap swings open and Edgar's beaky nose appears. He checks the street is clear. He creeps out of the door carrying a covered basket, looks this way and that and tiptoes into the gloom, tripping over a dustbin. He turns and glances at the house, edging backwards down the street into a tree branch. He thinks it's a gun at his back, then smiles at his mistake. He walks towards a parked motorbike and sidecar and gently places the covered basket in the sidecar seat. He lifts a fold of the basket's cover and peers inside, where Duchess and her kittens are peacefully asleep. With a grin, he straddles the motorbike and sets off down the lamplit street, steering bumperly over the cobblestones. Turning the corner, he sees a police station and speeds in a different direction. Down the steps of an underground station. And up again, riding sedately now through a deserted cathedral square, across a city bridge, its stone arches and lamplight reflected in the sparkling water below. He drives down a rutted, tree-lined country lane, white in the moonlight. At a signposted crossroads, he swerves to the right. In a nearby open field, underneath the turning sails of a windmill, is a rickety hay cart, and under the cart sleeps a big brown hound who lifts one floppy ear to listen. Springing up, he bangs his head.
Lafayette. Hey, Lafayette. Lafayette.
Well, I'm right here.
Listen, wheels approaching.
Oh, Napoleon, we done bit six tires today. Chased four motor cars and a bicycle and a scooter.
Hush your mouth.
Napoleon cocks an ear.
It's a motorcycle. Two-cylinder, chain drive, one squeaky wheel. On the front, it sounds like. Now, you go for the tires, and I'll go right for the seat of the problem.
How come you always grab a tender part for yourself?
He trips on his own ear.
'Cause I outrank you, that's why. Now stop beating your gums and sound the attack. That's mess call.
Made a mess of it, huh?
You can be replaced, you know.
Okay, let's charge.
Wait a minute. I'm the leader. I'm the one that says when we go. Here we go. Charge!
Napoleon and Lafayette race towards unsuspecting Edgar. When he sees them rush towards him over the bridge, his eyes pop and he swerves down the riverbank, cat basket tumbling into the reeds. The dogs chase him through the water and round and up and under the bridge's arch. He races up the bank and onto the road, sidecar full of water. Glancing back, he sighs with relief, but the two hounds surface in the sidecar. Edgar does a double take and stares into Napoleon's gleaming eyes. Napoleon bites Edgar's bottom. Lafayette bounces out and back, catapulting Edgar skywards, his umbrella becoming a handy parachute.
This your beach running, Napoleon.
The hounds are heading for a tree. motorbike and sidecar go separate ways. Edgar lands on Napoleon's pillion and clings to the hound. They narrowly miss the sidecar. Lafayette grabs Edgar's braces, yanks him from the pillion, propels the motorbike towards the windmill. Edgar grabs a sail, Napoleon's teeth in his trousers. They're whisked up and round, Edgar's trousers rip and Napoleon skids along the ground. Lafayette is hoisted by a sail. High in the air, Edgar jumps clear and hangs grimly to his parachute umbrella. Lafayette leaps at the butler's legs, spirals down them, pulling off his boots, and is caught by Napoleon in the sidecar. Edgar's umbrella gives way. He lands on the motorbike and, standing precariously on the seat, races away. Lafayette follows in the sidecar pushed by Napoleon.
Step on the gas, Napoleon! I got her wide open!
Coming level with the bike, Lafayette stretches and grabs hold. Edgar stamps on his paws. The hound pulls back in pain. Now Edgar's doing the splits, caught between sidecar and motorbike, paddling his hands over the speeding ground to keep from falling. Lafayette chomps at Edgar's leg.
Ow!
Edgar leaps in the air and back on the bike and laughs as the sidecar crashes into a trough, landing the dogs in the mud. Edgar is looking back at them, and not at the windmill he smashes through, grimly hanging on as blocks of masonry drop from the bike. He sways off down the road, speeds over the little bridge, and out of sight. Above the bridge, lightning flashes behind heavy, dark clouds. Nearby on the riverbank, next to the fallen cat basket, Duchess is still peacefully asleep among the reeds. She wakes and looks around.
Oh, where am I? I'm not at home at all. Children, where are you? Answer me. Berlioz? Toulouse, Marie, where are you?
Here I am, Mama.
Duchess lifts Marie from a tree branch.
Marie, darling, are you all right?
I guess I had a nightmare and fell out of bed.
Now, Marie, darling, don't be frightened.
Mama! Mama! That's Berlioz!
Over here, darling, Berlioz, here we are. And don't worry, everything is going to be all right.
I'm coming, Mama.
Berlioz wades into sight.
Gee, I'm cold and I'm wet. Mama? Mama? Mama!
He hides between his mother's legs.
Oh, darling. That's only a little frog, my love.
But he had a mouth like a hippopotamus. Oh, what's so funny?
Now, darlings, now you just stay here, and I go and I look for Toulouse. Toulouse? Toulouse, where are you?
Toulouse!
Hey, what's all the yelling about, huh?
Why didn't you answer?
Mama! He's been here all the time.
Oh, thank goodness. Are you all right?
I was having a funny dream. Edgar was in it. And we were all riding and bouncing along. Frogs? Uh-oh, it wasn't a dream. Edgar did this to us.
Edgar? Oh, darling, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah, maybe it fell on your head, Toulouse.
Mama, I'm afraid. I want to go home.
No, my darling, now don't be frightened. Now, let's get into the basket, all of us.
What's going to happen to us?
Darling, I just don't know. It does look hopeless, doesn't it?
I wish we were home with Madame right now.
Oh, poor Madame. She'll be so worried when she finds us gone.
In Madame's bedroom.
Duchess? Kittens? Oh, my gracious. I had the most horrible dream about them. Thank goodness it was only a dream.
She puts on slippers and dressing gown.
Dear, what a terrible night.
And goes to peek into the cat's cot.
Now, my darlings, don't be frightened. The storm will soon pass.
Oh. The cot is empty.
Oh, no. They're gone.
She runs to the landing.
Duchess! Kittens! Duchess! Where are you? Gone!
Roquefort runs from his hole to a window.
Duchess, kittens, gone? Why, that's terrible.
But where? Why? Good heavens, anything could happen to them on a night like this. Get washed down a storm drain, struck by lightning. Oh, they'll need help. I've just got to find them.
He jumps through the cat flap into the pouring rain.
Duchess! Kittens!
He pulls his coat around him and scampers off down the sodden street, dodging between puddles and dead leaves.
Duchess! Kittens!
Bright, sunny morning. Under the bridge, Duchess is curled up by the cat basket. Along the other bank strides a large ginger tomcat. Duchess wakes and looks on with interest.
I like a chicharoni like they make at home, or a healthy fish with a big backbone. I'm Abraham DeLacy. Giuseppe Casey. Thomas O'Malley. O'Malley the alley cat, I've got that wanderlust. Gotta walk the scene, gotta kick up highway dust. Feel the grass that's green, gotta strut them city streets, showing off my eclat. Yeah, telling my friends of the social elite, or some cute cat I happen to meet, that I'm Abraham DeLacy, Giuseppe Casey, Thomas O'Malley, O'Malley the alley cat.
He sprinkles her with blossom.
Monsieur, your name seems to cover all of Europe.
Well, of course, I'm the only cat of my kind. I'm king of the highway, prince of the boulevard, duke of the avant-garde. The world is my backyard. So if you're going my way, that's the road you want to seek. Calcutta to Rome, or home sweet home in Paris. Monofiki you all.
The kittens peek from the basket.
Oh boy, an alley cat. Shh, listen.
I only got myself and this big old world. But I sip that cup of life with my fingers curled. I don't worry what road to take. I don't have to think of that. Whatever I take is the road I make. It's the road of life. Make no mistake for me. Yeah, Abraham DeLacy, Giuseppe Casey, Thomas O'Malley. O'Malley, the alley cat. That's right, and I'm very proud of that. Yeah.
Bravo. Very good. You are a great talent.
Well, thank you. And what might your name be?
My name is Duchess.
Duchess. Beautiful. Love it. And those eyes. Ooh. Why, your eyes are like sapphires, sparkling so bright. They make the morning radiant. And light.
How romantic. Sissy stuff.
Oh, it's a treasure, monsieur. Very poetic. But it is not quite Shakespeare.
Of course not. That's pure O'Malley, baby. Right off the cuff. I got a million of them.
Oh, no more, please. I am really in a great deal of trouble.
Trouble? Helping beautiful damsels in distress is my specialty. Now, what's the hang-up, your ladyship?
Well, it is most important that I get back to Paris. So if you would be just so kind and show me the way.
Show you the way? Perish the thought. We shall fly to Paris on a magic carpet, side by side. With the stars as our guide. Just we two.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Three. Four. Five.
Oh, yes, Monsieur O'Malley. These are my children.
Oh, how sweet.
Do you really have a magic carpet? And are we really going to ride on it?
No, no, Marie.
Mama, do I have sparkling sapphire eyes that dazzle too?
Did I say that?
Yes, right off your cuff.
And you said we're going to ride on your magic carpet.
Well, now, What I meant, you see, I...
No, poetry to cover the situation, Monsieur O'Malley.
Well, what I had in mind was a kind of a sports model, baby. You know, one of those...
Perhaps a magic carpet built for two.
I wouldn't take up much room.
I understand perfectly, Monsieur O'Malley. Well, come along, darlings.
Marie flutters her eyes at O'Malley, then follows her mother. Toulouse grins up at him.
I'm a tough alley cat, too.
Hey there. You're coming on. I bet you're a real tiger in your neighborhood.
Yeah, that's because I practice all the time.
Now, Toulouse, come along, dear.
Yes, Mama.
See you around, tiger.
Toulouse grins back at him and follows the others, jumping in the air, spitting like an alley cat.
Now, that's quite a family. Come and think of it, O'Malley. You're not a cat. You're a rat. Right? Right. Hey, hold up there.
Yes, Monsieur O'Malley?
Now, look, kids. If I said magic carpet it's going to be. And it's going to stop for passengers. Right?
He scratches a cross in the muddy road.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, we're going to fly after all.
Another flight into the fantasy, Monsieur O'Malley?
No, baby.
He points to the long grass by the road.
Now, you just hide over there and you leave the rest to J. Thomas O'Malley.
He leaps into a tree.
Quick, Mom, get in here.
But, children.
Hurry up, Mama, hurry.
In the distance, O'Malley sees a blue milk van bumping along the road towards them.
One magic carpet coming up.
That's a magic carpet.
O'Malley leaps onto the van's bonnet. The startled van driver swerves to a halt. He gets out and shakes his fist.
Sapristi! Stupid cat! Brainless lunatic!
As he cranks the starting handle, Duchess and the kittens emerge from the thicket.
All right, step lively, all aboard for Paris.
They leap into the back of the van.
Why, Mr. O'Malley, you could have lost your life.
So I got a few to spare. Nothing.
How can we ever thank you?
My pleasure, entirely.
The van moves away from him.
Aloha. Auf Wiedersehen. Bonsoir. Saranora. And all those goodbye things, baby.
Sayonara, Mr.
Marie falls.
Mama!
Onto the road.
Marie!
O'Malley snatches her up and leaps for the van, clinging to the tailgate.
Oh, Marie, are you all right?
Yes, Mama.
Haven't we met before?
Oh, and I'm so very glad we did.
Thank you, Mr. O'Malley, for saving my life.
No trouble at all, little princess. And when we get to Paris, I'll show you the time of your life.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but we just couldn't. You see, my mistress will be so worried about us.
Well, humans don't really worry too much about their pets.
Oh, no. You just don't understand. She loves us very much. Poor madame. In that big mansion, all alone.
Duchess thinks of the street where she lives.
For all our days in tender ways. Her love for us will show.
The high-roofed house drips with recent rain.
And so, you see, we can't leave her alone.
Madame looks out from her lighted window above the front door.
She'd always say that we're the greatest treasure she could own.
Madame turns sadly away and disappears from view.
Because with us, she never felt alone.
In the stable, Frufu talks with the weary Roquefort.
Oh, Roquefort, I've been so worried about you. Did you have any luck at all? Not a sign of them, Frufu. And I've searched all night. I know. And poor Madame didn't sleep a wink either. Oh, it's a sad day for all of us.
Edgar skips towards them gleefully.
Morning, Frufru, my pretty steed.
He pats her neck and leans close.
Can you keep a secret?
Of course you can. I've some news straight from the horse's mouth. If you'll pardon the expression, of course.
He unrolls a newspaper.
Look, Frufru, I've made the headlines. Mysterious catnapper abducts family of cats. Oh, aren't you proud of me?
So, he's the catnapper.
The police say it was a professional, masterful job. The work of a genius.
He slaps the horse.
Not bad, eh, Frufru, old girl?
Roquefort goes flying into a bag of bran.
Oh, they won't find a clue to implicate me. Not one single clue. Well, I'll eat my hat if they... My hat? My umbrella? Oh, gracious. I've got to get those things back tonight.
He runs from the stable.
Why, that sneaky, crooked, no good butler.
The blue van chugs past a country church and over a bridge. In the back, O'Malley points to a tarpaulin covering something.
Anyone for breakfast?
What breakfast?
Where is it?
Right under that magic carpet. But now we have to cook up a little spell. You know, you ready?
They nod their heads.
All right. First, to make the magic begin, you wiggle your nose.
They wiggle their noses.
And tickle your chin.
They tickle their chins.
Now you close your eyes.
They close their eyes tight to lose peaks.
Cross your heart.
O'Malley whips the cover away.
Then presto, breakfast, a la carte.
There's a milk churn with cream written on it.
Hooray!
We did it!
Look, Mama, look!
They jump on its rim and lap the cream.
Why, Mr. O'Malley, you are amazing.
True. True.
The driver sees them in his mirror.
Surprise!
He slams on the brakes. O'Malley's thrown at the driver. The cats leap from the van.
Thieves! You robbers! Mangy tramps!
He throws a wrench.
That and that!
A churn just misses Marie. O'Malley grabs her in his mouth. They race over a rail track and into a shed.
Oh, what a horrible, horrible human.
Well, some humans are like that, Duchess. I've learned to live with it.
I'll show him. Meow.
Hey, cool it, you little tiger. That guy's dynamite.
But he called us tramps.
Oh, I'd be so glad when we get back home.
Well, that's a long way off, so we better get moving.
The kittens scamper to the rail track, which goes across a bridge high above a river.
Gee whiz! Look at that bridge!
Come on, let's play train.
Now be careful, children.
Raise the caboose.
All aboard!
They trot along one of the tracks, Toulouse at the front, tooting.
Woo-woo!
O'Malley and Duchess follow.
Woo-woo!
Clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety.
A real train is coming straight at them.
Oh, no!
All right, now don't panic. Down underneath here.
They leap and hide beneath the wooden sleepers. O'Malley and Duchess hang onto the little ones as the bridge shakes and shudders under the massive wheels of the train. Finally, the train has gone. They peer after it.
Mama!
Marie's in the river.
Marie! Oh, Marie!
Keep your head up, Marie. Here I come.
He dives in after her, grabs her by the collar and reaches for a floating log. Duchess races desperately along the river's edge as O'Malley and Marie are dragged downstream by the strong current. The log slips from the tomcat's grasp and they both go under, but he grabs it again, determined to keep Marie above water. Duchess runs to an overhanging tree branch.
Thomas! Thomas, up here!
As O'Malley passes beneath her, he flings Marie up to Duchess, who just manages to catch the kitten and bring her to dry land before leaping off again after O'Malley. The other two kittens run to their sodden sister.
Gee, Marie, why'd you have to fall off the bridge?
She scowls at them and sticks her tongue out. They all race after Duchess.
Thomas! Oh, Thomas! Take care!
I'm all right, honey. Don't worry. I'll see you downstream.
He drifts away on his floating log. Further along the river, two white geese waddle down a country lane on big webbed feet. Each wears a bonnet, one red, one blue, tied under the chin with a bow.
What beautiful countryside, Abigail. Oh, so much like our own dear England.
Oh, indeed, yes. Amelia, if I walk much farther, I'll get flat feet.
Abigail, we were born with flat feet.
In the river, O'Malley struggles to get ashore by grabbing a trailing willow branch.
Say, look over there. Oh, how unusual.
Fancy that. A cat learning how to swim.
And he's going about it all the wrong way.
Quite. We must correct
him. They waddle into the water and swim to him.
Sir, you are most fortunate we happened along.
Yes, we're here to help you.
No. Back off, girls. I'm doing fine.
First, you must gain self-confidence by striking out on your own.
Go away. I'm trying to get to shore.
You will never learn to swim properly with that willow branch in your mouth.
Indeed not.
Snip, snip. Here we go.
Don't do that.
He loses his grip and goes under.
You're doing splendidly.
And don't worry about form. It will come later.
Oh, he takes to water like a fish, doesn't he? A very enthusiastic pupil.
He grabs at them to stay afloat, but sinks again.
This is no time for fun and games.
Bubbles come to the surface, but no sign of O'Malley.
Gracious, Amelia. You don't suppose...
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Bottoms up!
They dip their heads underwater, exposing fluffy bottoms, then resurface.
Deeper!
They dive out of sight. Kittens and Duchess arrive to see them carry O'Malley ashore.
Look, Ma! There he is!
You really did quite well for a beginner.
Duchess rushes to him.
Oh, Thomas! Thank goodness you're safe. Keep practicing and toodly-pip.
He's bedraggled and soaked.
Can I help you, Mr. O'Malley, huh?
Help! I've had all the help I can take.
Oh, mademoiselles, thank you so much for helping Mr. O'Malley.
Of course, my dear. But first, introductions.
Yes, we British like to keep things proper.
Now, I am Amelia Gabble, and this is my sister.
Miss Abigail Gabble.
We're twin sisters.
You might say we're related. Silly.
Oh, nice. I never would have guessed.
Look, they got rubber feet.
Yeah.
We're on holiday.
For a walking tour of France.
For swimming some of the way.
On water, of course.
Thomas, this is Amelia and Abigail Gabble.
Yeah, honey, get those two web-footed lifeguards out of here.
Now, Thomas.
Okay, baby. Hiya, chicks.
The geese waggle their heads and shake feathers. O'Malley wrings water from his tail and scowls at them.
We're not chickens. We're geese.
No. I thought you were swans.
Oh, flatterer.
Your husband is very charming and very handsome.
Well, you see, I'm not exactly her husband.
Exactly. You either are or you're not.
All right. I'm not.
Oh?
It's scandalous. Does anybody care?
Absolutely, possibly a reprobate. A roué.
His eyes are too close together.
Shifty, too.
And look at his crooked smile.
His chin is very weak, too.
Obviously a philanderer who trifles with unsuspecting women's hearts.
How romantic.
Marie swoons, O'Malley smiles.
Please let me explain. Thomas is a dear friend of ours. He's just helping us to get to...
Come on, Duchess. Come on. Let's get out of here. Well, girls, see you around. We're on our way to Paris.
Oh, how nice. We're going to Paris ourselves.
Why don't you join us?
I think that's a splendid idea.
Oh, no.
Now, you stand here, dear. And, let's see. You take this position.
Duchess, you will do nicely here.
Yes, very good.
And you, dear, you take this place. Now that leaves Mr. O'Malley.
Oh, we can't leave him, can we?
Mr. O'Malley, I think you should be the rear end. Ready, everyone? Now think goose. Forward, march!
They waddle off smartly in formation, Abigail leading, O'Malley and Toulouse at the rear.
Mama, do we have to waddle like they do?
Yes, dear. Think goose.
They waddle up down the country lane.
When we get to Paris, you must meet Uncle Waldo.
Waldo?
Yes, he's our uncle. We are to meet Uncle Waldo at Le Petit Café.
Le Petit Café? Oh, that's that famous restaurant. Ah, c'est magnifique.
That night, in the kitchens of Le Petit Café, a chef chases a goose. Feathers are flying.
Sacrebleu!
Oh, he bit to my finger!
Get out, go! Get out, scram!
The goose is thrown out, tail feathers gone.
Good riddance!
Holding a lamppost, the goose retrieves his battered top hat and puts it on. Geese and cats waddle along the pavement towards him.
Why, it's Uncle Waldo!
Uncle Waldo!
Abigail! Amelia! My two favorite nooses!
Uncle Waldo,
I do believe you've been drinking.
Oh, dear, what happened to your lovely tail feathers?
Girls, it's outrageous. Why, you won't believe what they try to do to your poor old Uncle Waldo.
He points to a menu.
Look at this. Prime country goose, a la Provençal, stuffed with chestnuts and basted in white wine.
Basted? He's been marinated in it.
Dreadful. Being British, I would have preferred sherry. Sherry!
Oh, Uncle Waldo, you're just too much. You mean he's had too much.
Abigail,
yes.
We best get Uncle Waldo to bed.
Say that now. What's all the whispering about, huh? Now, girls, don't touch your old Uncle Waldo. Why, you'll wake up the whole neighborhood. Whoopee! Neighborhood!
Come along, Uncle Waldo.
Oh, yes, I think we'd better be going.
Oh, right now, girls. Birds of a feather must stick together.
That stick together.
Abigail and Amelia help their uncle waddle unsteadily away. Into the lamplit night, O'Malley grins.
You know something? I like Uncle Waldo.
Especially when he's marinated.
Back in the stable, Roquefort is at the window.
Frou-Frou, here comes Edgar. Hurry, Roquefort, hop aboard the motorcycle, and for goodness sakes, do be careful.
Edgar pushes open the door and enters. He carries a fishing rod.
Frou-Frou, tonight Operation Catnapper will be completed. Wish me luck. Fisherman's luck.
He climbs aboard the motorbike. Roquefort, hiding in the broken taillight, puts on goggles. Edgar puts on goggles.
Bye, Frou-Frou!
They speed out of the door, the little mouse just about hanging on. Racing over the cobblestone street, Roquefort is bounced upside down inside the glowing red light when Edgar circles a roundabout. Roquefort grabs for the license plate. Smoky exhaust blows in his face. He falls and bounces on the cobblestones, brought to rest by a curbstone. He removes the goggles from his blackened face and watches helplessly as Edgar speeds out of sight. Out in the country, windmill sails turn above the hayfield. From behind the stone walls of the windmill, Edgar peers out through the darkness, still carrying the fishing rod. He tiptoes towards the dog's hay cart. He looks around him and peers under the hay cart. Then he tiptoes on past a mound of hay where Napoleon is stretched out in the sidecar, under Edgar's open umbrella and wearing Edgar's bowler hat. Lafayette's in the cat basket. They're both fast asleep. Edgar catches sight of them, panics and runs behind a nearby haystack. Napoleon wakes and lifts a floppy ear, looking round suspiciously.
Lafayette, listen.
The other hound holds up his own floppy ear with a paw.
Oh, shucks, Napoleon, that ain't nothing but a little old cricket bug.
It's Squeaky Shoes approaching.
Oh, cricket bugs don't wear shoes.
Hush your mouth. Let's see. They're Oxford shoes, size 9 1/2. Hole in the left sole, it sounds like.
What color are they?
Well, they're black. Well, now, how would I know that?
Edgar takes off his shoes and places them on the ground.
Hey, now the squeaking has stopped.
I still say it was a little old cricket bug.
I'm the leader. I'll decide what it was. It was a little old cricket bug.
I'll see you in the morning, Napoleon.
They go back to sleep. A fishing rod appears above the hay mound, followed by Edgar's bald head. Edgar unwinds the line, trying to hook his hat off Napoleon's head. The hook swings dangerously close to Napoleon's nose, then catches hold of the hat and begins to lift it away. But the hat slips off and drops onto Lafayette's head. Edgar grimaces as Napoleon sleepily raises a paw to his head and feels for his missing hat. He sees his hat on Lafayette's head and grabs for it.
That's my hat. I'm the leader.
Well, shoot, bye. Don't get sore at me. I ain't done nothing.
Lafayette flips round in his basket and goes back to sleep. Napoleon settles down, hat back on head. Edgar grits his teeth and unreels the line. The hook catches. The hat starts to rise. Napoleon watches cross-eyed, then grabs the hat. Pulls it firmly down on his head. Edgar cowers. Napoleon looks left and right with narrowed eyes and flaps his arms firmly over his head. Edgar gapes, then purses his lips. Napoleon sleeps. Edgar is tickling Napoleon's ribs with a finger. Napoleon still sleeping. But his foot starts tapping. Lafayette giggles in his sleep. Edgar grabs the hat. Napoleon hangs on. Edgar scratches harder.
That feels good, Lafayette.
That's all right.
Lafayette's asleep. Edgar scratches harder.
A little lower and faster there.
I'm scratching as fast as I can.
Lafayette's foot taps.
Right there. That's good.
Edgar grabs the hat in his teeth. Napoleon sinks back. Edgar in the haystack kisses the hat and puts it on. He reels out the fishing line again and hauls up the sleeping Lafayette in the cat basket. Half asleep, Napoleon blinks as Lafayette rises past him into the air. He tries to focus, gives up, and then thinks for a moment and frowns. Above him, Edgar gently tips Lafayette out of the basket and into the sidecar next to Napoleon. Lafayette cuddles up as Napoleon tries to work out what's going on.
It's warm and cozy.
Napoleon pushes Lafayette away. From above, Edgar tugs the umbrella. It catches the horn. Napoleon sticks his head in the umbrella. Edgar pulls, slips, falls on the sidecar. Edgar hides in the hay.
What's going on? Lafayette, what in tarnation you trying to do?
Oh, I get blamed for everything.
Wait a minute. Where's my hat? And somebody stole my bumper chute.
Well, where's my Betty Bye basket?
And whoever it is gonna get it and get it good.
This time, I get the tender part.
Hush your mouth. Now, come on.
Napoleon walks past Edgar's shoes. So does Lafayette, but his rear paws step right into them. He walks on oblivious. Hearing the shoes creak from behind, his eyes widen.
Hey, Napoleon. Oh, it's them shoes again.
Yeah, I hear them.
Napoleon, I'm plum goose pimply scared.
Now, this is no time to turn chicken.
They go back to back, staring round them. Lafayette reversing under Napoleon's longer legs. Napoleon steps on Lafayette's ear, pinning it to the ground.
I got a feeling this case is gonna bust wide open.
They panic, run round a tree and bang into each other.
Did you see him?
No. He sneaked up behind me and tailgated me.
Well, he didn't hurt me. He hit me on the head.
Shh! Listen. Sounds like a one-wheel...
Ooh. A one-wheel what?
You're not gonna believe this, but it's a one-wheeled haystack. Hey, there it goes. Come on.
A haystack balanced on the sidecar races down a hill. Edgar emerging from the top. The dogs dive in.
I got him.
Ow, that's me.
The haystack hits a cart. Edgar stays in the sidecar and swings round a tree. Haystack and dogs crash into a barn. Edgar escapes on his motorbike.
Well, sail again, Napoleon. I guess you can't win them all.
Lafayette rubs his sore head where Napoleon just hit him. Back in Paris, O'Malley, Duchess and the kittens wearily tread their precarious way over old tiled roofs. In the distance, the Eiffel Tower and a large yellow moon. O'Malley carries Marie on his back.
Damas, Madame will be so worried. Are you sure we can't get home tonight?
Mama, I'm tired.
Me too, and my feet hurt.
Look, baby, it's late, and the kids are bushed.
I'll bet we walked 100 miles. I'll bet it's more than 1,000.
No, darlings, cheer up. Mr. O'Malley knows a place where we can stay tonight.
How much farther is it, Mr. O'Malley?
Keep your whiskers up, Tiger. It's just beyond that next chimney pot.
They see a skylight and a broken old roof.
Well, there it is. My own penthouse pad. It's not exactly the Ritz, but it's peaceful and quiet.
The lights come on.
Oh no. Sounds like Scat Cat and his gang have dropped by.
Oh, friends of yours?
Yeah, they're old buddies and they're real swingers.
Swingers? What is a swinger?
You know, not exactly your type, Duchess, and maybe we'd better find another place, huh?
Oh, no, no, no. I would like to see your pad and meet your scat cat.
Well, okay.
Through the open skylight, they watch a band of alley cats.
Hey, scat cat, blow some of that sweet stuff my way. Well, looky here. Big man O'Malley's back in his alley. Swing on down here, Daddy. Lay some skin on me, scat cat. Yeah.
Buenas tardes, paisano.
Welcome home, O'Malley.
Duchess, this is the greatest cat of them all.
Oh, I'm delighted to meet you, Mrs. Cat's Cat.
Likewise, Duchess. You're too much.
She kisses her paw.
Oh, you are charming. And your music is so, so different. Oh, so exciting.
It isn't Beethoven, Mama, but it sure bounces.
Say, this kitten cat knows where it's at.
Knows where what's at?
Well, little lady, let me elucidate here. Everybody wants to be a cat, because a cat's the only cat who knows where it's at.
Tell me, everybody's picking up on that feline beat. Cause everything else is obsolete.
Strictly high-button shoes.
A square with a horn makes you wish you weren't born.
Every time he plays.
But with a square in the act, you can set music back.
Do the caveman days.
I've heard some corny birds who tried to sing.
Still a cat's the only cat who knows how to swing.
Who wants to dick along head geek and stuff like that?
When everybody wants to be a cat, a square with a horn makes you wish you weren't born. Every time he plays, oh, a rinky tinky dinky with a square in the act, you can set music back to the caveman days.
Oh, a rinky tinky tinky.
Yes,
everybody wants to be a cat,
because a cat's the only cat who knows where it's at. When playing jazz, you always has a welcome mat. Everybody thinks a swinging cat.
Oh boy, fellas, let's rock the joint. Ha ha, groove it, cats.
The alley cats play and dance with their guests. Goofy Chinese on cymbals, shaggy Russian on bass, spaced out English on guitar and scat on trumpet. The cheeky Italian shimmies in front of Duchess on the bed, lifts his hat and wiggles his eyes. Duchess smiles and waggles her head. Berlioz pounds his paws on the piano. The Chinese accompanies with chopsticks.
Shanghai, Hong Kong, Ik Fu Yang. Fortune cookie always wrong. Not the hot one.
How about you and me, Duchess?
Yes, let's swing it, Tommy.
O'Malley and Duchess dance paw to paw and kick out their legs in time to the music.
Groovy, Mama, groovy.
Scat offers his trumpet to Toulouse.
Blow it, small fry. Blow it.
Boy, he blew it. But he was a cross.
Italian cat smiles and squeezes his squeeze box as Russian and English pluck their strings and prance. Duchess and O'Malley strut their stuff. Berlioz pounds the piano. Chinese goofs out on drums. Scat wallows on trumpet. Now Duchess perches elegantly on a chair, running her paws over a golden harp.
Beautiful.
If you want to turn me on, play your horn, don't spare the tone, and blow a little soul into the tune.
Let's take it to another key. Modulate, wait for me. I'll take a few and live them pretty soon. The other cats will all commence congregating on the fence beneath the alley's only light,
where every note is out of sight.
The alley cats jump on the piano and bounce as they play their instruments.
Everybody wants to be a cat.
The rotten floorboards begin to give. The piano crashes through the floor.
Party!
And through the next. And the next.
Be a cat.
I'm going to...
Until they reach the level of the street. Unharmed and unabashed, they dance in line over the cobblestones. O'Malley, Duchess and the kittens gaze happily after them as the band dance on, along an alley wall under the shadow of the Eiffel Tower and silhouetted by the light of the big yellow moon.
Everybody wants to be a cat.
Duchess sits on the pink threadbare cover of the old bed. Berlioz slides down the big pillow and under the cover next to Marie, who is already tucked up. Toulouse leaps onto the bed and gets a lick from his mother before snuggling under the cover next to Berlioz. O'Malley gazes down from the skylight, a soppy grin on his face. Berlioz wriggles down to get more comfortable and sighs contentedly.
Everybody wants to be a cat. Because a cat's the only cat who knows where it's at. Oh, yeah.
Happy dreams, my love.
Leaving the slippy kittens, Duchess climbs onto the windowsill. O'Malley slips through the broken shutters to join her.
I'll bet they're on that magic carpet right now.
They could hardly keep their eyes open.
Marie peeks from under the cover.
Such an exciting day.
Sure was, and what a finale.
They gaze across the rooftops, then move off to a nearby chimney stack.
Thomas, your friends are really delightful. I just love them.
Well, they're kind of rough, you know, around the edges, but if you're ever in a jam, wham, they're right there.
And bam, when we needed you, you were right there.
That was just a lucky break for me, baby.
Thank you so much for offering us your home. Oh, I mean your pad.
Marie, curious, watches from the window.
It's very nice.
Well, now, wait a minute. You know, this is the low-rent district, remember?
No, I like it. Well, all it needs is a little tidying up and, well, maybe a little feminine touch.
Well, if you're applying for the job, well...
Goody, Mother's going to work for Mr. O'Malley.
Boy, your eyes are like sapphires.
Duchess blinks. Marie swoons.
Gee. That's pretty corny, though, huh?
Oh, no. Not at all. Any woman would like it. Oh, I mean, even little Marie.
Berlioz sidles up and sticks his tongue at Marie.
Yeah. All those little kittens, Duchess. I love them.
And they are very fond of you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they need a father around.
Oh, Thomas, that would be wonderful.
Duchess smiles up at him, then looks troubled.
Darling, if only I could.
But why can't you?
Because of Madame. Well, I could never leave her.
But Madame's, well, she's just another human. You're just her house pets.
Oh, no. We mean far more to her than that.
Now all three kittens are listening.
Oh, sorry, my dear. But we just have to go home tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I guess you know best. But I'm going to miss you, baby. And those kids.
Marie sighs.
Gee, I'm going to miss them, too.
Well... We almost had a father.
Yeah.
Toulouse yawns.
Let's go back to bed.
He turns from the window, followed by Berlioz, and then finally by a disappointed Marie.
Good night, Duchess.
Good night, Thomas.
Duchess walks slowly back across the broken roof tiles. O'Malley stares after her, then turns away forlornly. Early morning in a bright, tree-lined street in Paris. A horse pulls a covered wagon. Round the corner walk Duchess and O'Malley, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. O'Malley slows to a halt when he sees the big house at the end of the street. The kittens scamper past them towards it.
Hey, meow. What a classy neighborhood. Dig these fancy wigwams.
Wigwams?
Are you sure we're on the right street?
Yes, let's hurry. We're almost home.
Inside at the window.
Duchess! Kittens! Hallelujah! They're back!
Roquefort excitedly slides down the curtain to greet them, but then sees Edgar, legs up on the piano, puffing a cigar.
Oh, no! Edgar! I've got to do something quick!
Oh,
Edgar, old chap, get used to the finer things of life. Someday they're all going to be yours, you sly old fox.
Edgar opens a bottle of champagne.
Oh!
The cork sends Roquefort flying.
Oh, he got me.
Hooray, we're home!
Wait for me, wait for me! Me first, me first!
The kittens stun themselves on the cat flap.
It's locked.
Come on, let's all start meowing.
Champagne sprays from Edgar's lips.
It can't be them.
The kittens.
He gets to his feet, but Roquefort has tied Edgar's shoelaces together. He hops and falls flat on his face. Roquefort jumps at the locked cat flap.
Don't come in!
Then dashes to the window and waves both arms at them.
Go away! Away!
Look, there's Roquefort.
Hi, Roquefort.
You're so glad to see us.
Meanwhile, Duchess at the gate with O'Malley.
I don't know what to say. I only wish that I...
Maybe just a short, sweet goodbye would be easiest.
I'll never forget you, Thomas O'Malley.
She slowly walks away from him towards the door.
Why?
So long, baby.
Don't come in! Look out for Edgar!
The front door opens and the kittens rush in. Duchess glances back to O'Malley, then follows them. The door closes behind her.
Duchess, where... ever have you been?
Look out for them!
Edgar bags them.
Sack.
Well?
O'Malley sighs and ambles down the street.
Guess they won't need me anymore.
Edgar is tying the sack.
You came back. Oh, it just isn't fair.
Edgar! Edgar, come quickly!
Coming, madam, coming.
He flings them into an unlit oven.
I'll take care of you later.
Madame rushes down the stairs.
Oh, Edgar, they're back! I heard them. Hurry, hurry, let them in.
He opens the front door.
Duchess? Kittens? Come here, my darlings. Where are you? Come on.
Allow me, madam. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Here, kitty, 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 kitty.
His name is... oh, what?
His name is O'Malley.
Abraham de Lacy.
He used to
be crazy.
Oh, never mind.
Run, move, go get him.
Yes, yes, I'm on my way.
I told you it was Edgar. Oh, shut up, Toulouse.
Oh, it's no use, Edgar. I'm afraid it was just the imagination of an old lady.
She goes back inside.
But I was so sure that I heard them.
I'm so sorry, madam.
Edgar smiles to himself. Roquefort dashes down the path and looks around for O'Malley, who is disappearing from sight at the end of the street. The mouse races after him, tripping over a leaf.
Mr. O'Malley!
He picks himself up and rushes on, swerving in front of the surprised cat.
Hey! Stop! Duchess, kittens, in trouble. Butler did it.
Duchess and kittens in trouble? Look, you go get Scat Cat and his gang of alley cats.
Alley cats? But I'm a mouse.
Look, I'm gonna need help.
You mean you want me?
Move! Just tell him O'Malley sent you and you won't have a bit of trouble.
O'Malley gallops back as Roquefort dashes on down the sunny street and into a darker alleyway full of overflowing dustbins.
No trouble, he said. Well, that's easy for what's-his-name to say. He's got 9 lives. I've only got 1.
The cat's face. Roquefort runs, but Scat Cat grabs his tail.
What's a little swinger like you done on our side of town?
Oh, please, I was sent here for help by a cat.
Well, this is outrageous. It's crazy.
Scat drops him. The alley cats watch him run inside a bottle. Russian grabs and shakes it.
But honest, he told me just to mention his name.
So, start mentioning name, rodent.
No. Oh, now, wait a minute, fellas. Look, don't rush me. His name is O'Toole.
I don't dig him. Strike one.
Oh, O'Brien.
Strat two.
Hellboy. You believe me, don't you?
Keep talking, Mousy.
How about, Grady? Huh?
Mousy, you just struck out. Any last words?
Why did I listen to that O'Malley cat? O'Malley? O'Malley?
O'Malley?
Hold it, cats. This little guy's on the level.
You done took them on the level. Oh, we didn't mean it to rough you, Squeaky. Don't worry about me. O'Malley needs help. Duchess and kittens are in trouble.
Come on, cats. We gotta split.
Hey, wait for me. You don't know the way.
They race off, Roquefort just about keeping up, past a cafe table where a man is drinking wine from the bottle. Seeing cats chased by a mouse, he stares at his bottle accusingly and pours the remaining wine onto the pavement. Meanwhile, back at the mansion, O'Malley spies on Edgar through a window. As he makes a phone call and rushes into the stable with the sack, O'Malley follows and sees him lock the sack away in a trunk.
Now, my little pesky pets, you're going to travel first class. In your own private compartment. All the way to Timbuktu. And this time...
you'll never come back.
We've got to hurry. The baggage truck will be here any moment now.
O'Malley knocks him flat. Then bolts the door. Edgar charges. Frufu bites his coattail. Edgar pulls free. Heaves open the door and goes flying backwards over the trunk. He pushes the trunk towards the door. O'Malley strains to hold it back. Frufu steps forward. O'Malley leaps away and Edgar's stopped by the horse's solid hooves. Edgar chases O'Malley up a ladder. With a sickle, O'Malley topples the ladder but crashes down with Edgar. Edgar is jabbing at a pile of hay with a three-pronged pitchfork. O'Malley emerges and Edgar pursues him, jumping over boxes and barrels and jabbing his pitchfork at the cat. O'Malley's trapped in a corner. Edgar approaches menacingly and throws the pitchfork directly at the cat. O'Malley's unharmed but pinned to the wall. Edgar runs for the door, opens it and stares. He slams it shut. The alley cats burst through and roll on top of him. Roquefort runs to the immobile O'Malley.
Over there, they're in the trunk.
Roquefort dashes to the trunk and, hanging by his tail above the combination lock, rubs his hands, puts his ear to the dial and turns it. O'Malley struggles free. Edgar struggles with the alley cats. Roquefort struggles to hear the lock.
Quiet!
They freeze mid-fight. The lock springs open. The fight goes on. O'Malley flings open the trunk's lid.
Everybody out of here, fast!
But Edgar slams the lid, trapping them inside.
You are going to Timbuktu if it's the last thing I do!
A bale drops on him. Chinese and Russian trap his arms in the horse collar. Scat bombs him with a bucket of water. Italian hooks a rope to the horse collar. Frufru pulls at the rope and lifts Edgar away from the trunk. O'Malley, Duchess and the kittens leap free as Frufru kicks at Edgar with her raised hind legs. He lands in the trunk. The trunk slams shut and slides out of the door just as a baggage van reverses into the street.
Well, Mac, this must be the trunk, eh?
Yep, and she goes all the way to Timbuktu. Heave-ho!
Driver and assistant throw the trunk into the van and drive away, to everyone's delight. Toulouse included. Under a clear night sky full of stars, a light glimmers at the large window of the mansion. Inside, Madame stands behind a tripod camera as Duchess, O'Malley and the kittens pose on the sofa.
Now, my pets, a little closer together. Good. Good. Look, George, what do you think?
Very good, very good. But I think we should get on with the will.
Yes, yes, of course, but you know what to do.
Very well, Scratch Muds Butler.
You know, George, if Edgar had only known about the will, I'm sure he never would have left.
Madame approaches O'Malley with a comb.
Duchess, it's wonderful to have you all back. And I think this young man is very handsome. Shall we keep him in the family? Of course we will. We need a man around the house. And George, we must be sure to provide for their future little ones.
O'Malley gulps.
Of course, the more the merrier.
Duchess fondly snuggles against O'Malley.
Now don't move. Smile.
The cats lift their heads and pose.
Say cheese.
Roquefort comes out of his hole.
Did somebody say cheese?
Thank you. Now run along downstairs. There's a surprise for you.
The cats jump from the sofa and race off, Roquefort with them. The lawyer puts his specs away, then kicks his spindly legs in a funny dance.
Adelaide, what's that music? Sounds like a gang of swinging up cats.
That's exactly what they are, George. They're the start of my new foundation.
What foundation?
My home for all the alley cats of Paris.
Chinese on drums, Scat on trumpet, Roquefort conducting from the music stand, Berlioz pounds the piano, O'Malley and Duchess do the jive, everybody wants to be a cat. Russian and English strum their strings, Scat slithers and slides, and even Frufru stands in the doorway and sings.
Everybody, everybody, everybody wants to be a cat.
Everybody!
Whoopee!
Everybody wants to be a cat.
That was Waldo the Goose. Way out in the countryside, Napoleon and Lafayette cock their floppy ears in disbelief. Then they lift their heads and croon.
Hey, Napoleon, that sounds like the end.
Wait a minute, I'm the leader. I'll say when it's the end. It's the end.
The end slides into sight and whams him in the head. The words pulsate and change color in time to the music against the changing colors of the sky.
Oh, yeah.
A Walt Disney production. Walt Disney Pictures.